Blog Talk Radio. Peace and love, family. Peace, 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 love, and light. I hope everyone within the sound of my voice is doing exceptionally well. I hope that we are embracing the changing weather, all these wonderful things that are happening. You know, I hope that you are definitely experiencing positivity and upliftment in your world. And, you know, wherever you go, if you're not experiencing positivity, then perhaps you may need to emanate a little bit more positive energy, because we definitely receive what we give. So if you give love and smiles and happiness, then you will receive that. But, you know, if you're a little, you know, tight and angry or not very hospitable and friendly to people, then, yeah, you might receive something else. A lot of things are going on. I keep expressing this for a reason. We are moving into the fifth dimension. It is a true reality for us as humanity on the whole, okay? There are many, many, many enlightened entities that are within the fifth dimension and even higher dimension that are really rooting for us, like little cheerleaders. They just really want us to try to get ourselves together so that we can make this switch from the third to the fifth dimension. And within the fifth dimension, there is no wickedness. There is no evil. There's no anger. There's no pain. There's no hurt. There's no sorrow. There's no BS, if you will. None of that exists in the fifth dimension. So we got a long way to go because from what we can see in our world, in daily like life activities, you know, whether it's you personally or if you are watching the news, you know, or having a conversation with a friend even, you know, and you hear different things going on, or, you know, people getting into serious arguments, you know, issues going on, you know, people not being able to resolve, people being stubborn and resistant to love and compassion and you know, solving issues and problems. Like, a lot of interesting things are happening. And some people are also dealing with it on a physical level where they have health challenges that are also shaping their reality and forcing them to move into a higher vibration for their particular reality. It's very, very important. I always stress this to clients and even to family and friends, but it's exceptionally important to maintain a very high vibration. I've spoken about this in previous episodes. Feel free to go back into the archives and check it out. But the higher we vibrate as entities, the greater our experience is and the greater our world can become. And so because we do put energy into what we call the collective conscious. A lot of people may not really be aware of this, but, you know, on a metaphysical and quantum physics level, we are all connected to each other. Even if I stay in my house and don't come outside and I don't even know who my neighbor is, I still have an energetic entanglement, not a Jada Pinkett entanglement, an energetic entanglement to other people that are within my radius. And so we have these types of connections. They are invisible. We cannot necessarily see them, but it is real. It is alive and well. It is something that we really, really experience. And although you may not be cognitively aware of it, it is something that is happening. It is happening in your world. It's happening in your life. It's happening through every second of every single day, wherever you move, wherever you are. You're having this energetic, electrical even type of connection with strangers even. And so how you think about your reality, is what's going to shape your future. It's going to shape what you're manifesting. And if you are one who is detached from your higher self, because we all have a higher self. It's there. Now, if we connect to it, fantastic. We can make moves. We can do things. We can move mountains when we're connected to our higher self. But if you don't even know that you have one, it's kind of hard to connect to it. That's number one. Number two, you can find yourself seeing a reality that you might not really want. You might not even like it. You might be like, oh, my God, why is my world this way? And then yet and still you might not be able to truly internalize that you're creating your world with your own vibration, your thoughts, your interactions with other people. All of these types of things will control your reality. So peace and love, Sister Dawn. I see you. I'm so happy you're here with me this week. Thank you, thank you. And thank you to everyone who's logged on or called in or, you know, whatever you wish to do. You know, invite friends if you want to. I'm going to go in today. I am sort of, I'm not babbling, but I'm having a little chitty chat right now because I want, you know, more people to come in. And I know sometimes people don't get in exactly at 7. But I know y'all are with me, and I'm grateful. You know, but it's very, very important. And, you know, even an individual like Sister Dawn, beautiful spirit, wonderful, beautiful person. Like, we've never had negative words. We've always had love and laughter. We have chuckles, okay? And, you know, even when life gives you, you know, lemons, you make lemonade, right? You know, we speak about different things. We've experienced, you know, the loss of people. She was with me when I lost my mom and, you know, different things like that. But she was just never a negative energy ever. She never had anything negative to say. She never told me some BS. She never advised me to do something stupid. You know, she's been there for me in beautiful parts and points of my life, you know, including my wedding. You know, just a golden soul. And I'm telling y'all right now, if you're blessed, I don't like to use that word anymore because it says be less and I don't want to be less. If you are gifted with specific types of spirits that are loving, real souls that are loving through and through, that just give you positivity and keep it real with you all the time. If you are gifted to have people like that in your life, please give thanks. Give thanks. A lot of us, we know, we have friends that just complain all the time. We got friends that, pardon the expression, like to talk a lot of shit all the time. You know what I'm saying? Just, we have individuals in our lives. Not all of them are that, you know, fantastically progressive, if you will. And, you know, we love people. We love everybody, you know, where they are, who they are, you know. But I'm just saying, I'm very lucky and fortunate, and I feel so, so fortunate to have been gifted by the Supreme Creator that I have been able to have these types of people in my life. And, you know, I also have friends that tell me I'm that person for them as well. It's a beautiful thing. This is what we are here to do, family. We're not here to be nasty and negative. We're not here to throw shade on each other. We're not here to be mean to each other. We're not here. No, 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 no. That we come into flesh to work all that out. How about that? We come into flesh. We incarnate into flesh so many times. We do it in order to get all that stuff out the way. You have to evolve. This is your evolution school. That is what Earth is. Evolution school. And so as some of us have, you know, very quick tempers, we're here to work that out. Some of us can, you know, just come out the side of our face and say stuff and, you know, not really realize what we've said. We're here to work that out. Some of us are liars. Some people have a hard time trying to tell the truth in most situations. We're here to work that out. Okay? So what I'm saying is our experience on this level where we are, specifically in his dimension, but where we are and that we are a three-dimensional thing, we come into these body suits so we could work all this crap out so that we can evolve and get to higher and higher and higher and higher and higher levels of reality. And, of course, that is nowhere to be seen when you turn on the television, when you see marketing and the commercials and things that they want people to become involved in, and, you know, Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto and all these other different types of games and ways to just lose time and just do senseless activity. And forgive me, I'm hard on that. I'm hard on that because it is very important, again, don't take advantage of, I mean, let me see, don't take advantage in a negative way. your lifetime. Don't take that for granted. Because you're only going to come back and have to relive and have to redo the same mistakes that you made. Don't waste time. If you know you're an evil ass, get positive as fast as possible. Please, as fast as possible. So that when you come back, it won't be so hard for you. When we see people who are experiencing hard lives, yes, we can try to help. But never forget that that is that individual's journey. That is that individual's experience. So you can give them love. You can pray for them. You can uplift them. You can light a candle for them. You can buy them a sandwich. You can whatever. But understand that that is that individual's experience. And that is not, it is not up to you to seemingly try to rescue this individual from their experience, because they themselves, with their mind, with their brain, and their own thought process, has manifested such reality. So I'm not saying not to have compassion, because we are supposed to have compassion for individuals who are quite unfortunate. At the same time, I say, you can help, you can give, you can share, but don't think you're going to be somebody's savior and pull, and just do something miraculous for them. You're supposed to be doing miraculous stuff for yourself. And so, yes, as brothers and sisters, we can help each other, but do not ever forget we are all here on our own journey. We are all individuated souls that are connected, that are here to experience and express. And the creator's creator of all things is experiencing and expressing with and through us. Seriously. Seriously. So don't waste time with your lifetime. Please. If there's stuff you know you want to fix, there's nothing that's impossible. If you got a gambling problem, stop gambling, damn it. If you're unfaithful to your spouse, please stop that. Because all you will reap is unfaithfulness in other various situations, including personal relationships, in your next lifetime. Why would you want to go through that? Again, we get what we give. Try to be as righteous as you can. And I'm not perfect. I'm working on myself all the time. You know, life has its challenges. I'm going to say just real quick, you know, I'm an Aries, Aries sun and moon, Virgo rising. And so I have to control all that. I have to get all of that seriously under control. And I do my best to do so. And that's why I meditate. That's why I enjoy silence and quiet and peace, because I know that the other part of me or other parts of my personality that could come out probably wouldn't be real nice to somebody. So I really try to hold it in as much as possible. Now, if you are one who's got the special combination to press the right buttons to possibly turn me into what I don't want to become, that's different. Because you got to push me. So if you're pushing me, then that's what you're going to get. My normal vibration, the common denominator of my existence, is love. You know, but I'm a warrior. I am. I'm a warrior. You know, and I can be a fighter. And that's a good thing. You know, it's not a bad thing. But I'm not one to be combative with other individuals. That is not my intent. Now, if you come for me, oh, yeah, we're going, all right, we can make it happen. We're going to have a serious conversation. But I'm not one to attack. I'm not one to be stink. I'm not one to be nastily sassy. I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that. I am doing way too much soul work on myself to retard and go and become that which I'm not trying to be. So what I'm trying to express to everyone who's within the sound of my voice, you have self-control. Exercise it as best as you can. I'm seeing people finding themselves in situations and circumstances where they're like oblivious and confused and bewildered all at the same time, and yet have not a piece of an idea that they drove the car into this particular situation. They are driving the car. They're driving the bus, the plane, the car, whatever vehicle. They're driving it. You know, and so don't waste time. Don't go all the way to California to get to New York if you're in Jersey, okay? Like, just simplify things, but really try to maintain a high light within yourself. Begin to develop and envelop that special relationship with your highest self, because it's in you. It's in you. Get to it. Because when you do find that you are more so in control of your reality than you may have thought, oh, how things change. Oh, how life can definitely produce some very interesting outcomes that would more than likely be very pleasing to you. Very, very interesting. But you know those other people out there that are like Paddington and Ziggy and Cappy? Remember those cartoons where everybody just, woe is me, like their life is just a hot mess no matter what they did. Everything was just, everything is bad. It's raining all the time. You know those types of people? You know, they'll definitely be back. They're going to be back a few more times. They don't get it. They're not getting it. You know, so I just wanted to share that because we're in a very interesting dynamic of time, and regardless of moving into the fifth dimension, but, you know, this time of year is a very special and very interesting time of year, okay? I know y'all know that. Some of y'all can feel it, you know, and that's why I always urge people to, you know, don't get depressed. Try not to get too sad. You know, these are times of inflection, not necessarily reflection, you know, when you go within and work on self and, you know, behave somewhat like nature. Nature right now, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, is changing, right? Nature is doing what right now? In all actuality, pretty as it may be, it's dying. It's going to sleep. The leaves are changing. They're drying out. They're going to fall. The trees will be naked in a minute. I have a few naked trees around me right now. Seriously, folks, autumn is a beautiful death. That is what we're watching. But it's also a hibernation time. It's, you know, this is when a lot of stuff is going on. You got deers mating right now. The deer are mating, trying to get it in before, you know, wintertime, which is very special, but they're everywhere. So please be careful out there. I would definitely advise you to get these little whistle things that you put on the side of your fenders right above, right, you know, where your wheel, whatever, where the wheel is on the car, like right on the fender, right on the side. They have these little, like, whistle type of things, and they clip onto the, right there. They're very small. They may be like about an inch and a half long, but they let a sound out that lets the deer know, like, get out the way because something is really coming. It's not just the sound of a car, but it's like a whistle type of sound. So that's helpful when you live in areas where there are deer. They're everywhere, okay? So please, please, please keep all your eyes open and, you know, even in encourage your passengers to keep their eyes open as well. You know, Hubby Lish and I were coming home the other night, and we had just done a really great gig. Quick sidebar. Super congratulations for the launch of Redbone Cigars. Redbone Cigars is a Black-owned cigar line. Really, really wonderful, smooth, great burn cigars. Seriously. I'm not joking. Like, really premium cigars. So for all my cigar aficionados out there, please go to redbonecigars.com. And you can order online. You can order boxes. You can order bunches, whatever. But please, please, so big ups to my sister Cardelia and brother Q for launching this wonderful endeavor. It is a beautiful, beautiful endeavor for them and also the people who get to enjoy the cigars, but it's just wonderful. Nonetheless, we were coming home from their launch party because we played the music, because you know how we do. So we were rocking. It was great. wonderful, beautiful people, wonderful time. As we are driving, I see, I'm going west and they're going east, okay? And I could see something in the distance, and then I saw one headlight. But what happened was, when we got up to the situation, we had to swerve around a dead deer that had just gotten hit, and the cars on the side had had an accident as a result of hitting this deer. Whatever type of vehicle it was, I don't know if it was a minivan or if it was an SUV, mini SUV, the whole front end was done for, finished, night, like, done. Poppy done. Smashed all the way to, like, the dashboard. And then there was a car that was behind it that had also, I guess, maybe hit that car and their headlight out. So they only had one headlight. It was crazy. So they were waiting for the police and what have you to get there. But the deer was a fresh hit, honey. So be careful out here on these roads. It is mating season for the deer. So be careful, please. All right. We're going to get into tonight's show, all right? Feel free to go into the chat if you're online. If you want to ask me a question or anything, feel free to do that. If you have my number personally, feel free to text me. If you're on Facebook and you wanted to comment, you can, you know, inbox me on Facebook, whatever. It's all good. But we're getting ready to rock and roll, baby. All right. So, unfortunately, and I say this because, whew, what a catastrophe. In Seoul, Korea, just a few days ago, there was mayhem and madness. Okay, mayhem and madness ensued as the country opened up their mandates after 2.5 long years of being shut down from the COVID-19 situation. And so they decided to just open everything back up to the public at one time with a celebration of Halloween, of all things. Baby, not a good idea. There was one of the largest human stampedes on record that occurred in Seoul, Korea. Almost 200 people are dead, hundreds are injured, people were getting squeezed to death. They could not expand their lungs. The crowd was pressing in on them from every angle, and they could not inhale. That's how bad it was. Then you had the people who started the stampede. Apparently, they said some people were on drugs or whatever, and they started the stampede, which is interesting because I don't know too much about having drugs over there, but whatever. A stampede started, and the way the people collapsed onto each other at the end of this narrow street, the police and emergency rescue personnel were literally trying to pull people from this mountain of people. It was horrible. So in my mind, I'm like, what in the hell am I looking at? What is going on? And this is what happens. These are those things I talk about when it comes to like sociology and psychology and human behavior. Because when people are panicked, they can behave in a way that schools of fish behave, okay? Meaning that you can have thousands of fish, right? They're all swimming together. They all know when to turn. They all know when to dive. They all know when to come up and pop up and do whatever above the water. They know how to do all of it, right? They're moving together. The actual term for them moving together, just like flocks of birds as well, is called morphic resonance. Human beings can behave this way from time to time, but they will definitely display this behavior in a panicking situation. And in a stampede, when you just don't know, excuse me, which way to go, which way to run, what do I do? Death can ensue. I was very saddened when I saw, I was watching videos, and I went on YouTube to watch the videos because, you know, for me, yeah, you know, I can watch the news, but I don't really depend on the mainstream media. Y'all know that because they're crazy. And, you know, I would just rather just, if I get a video live off of somebody who was there and it's their phone in the moment and I'm seeing everything going on. I mean, they had lines and lines of people, bodies on the ground, and people were trying to resuscitate and give CPR to all these people. All you see are bodies lying down and people over them giving them chest compressions. Like, madness. And on Sky News, I did watch Sky News because they're an independent news network. The brother said, I believe this was a man-made disaster. Now, you're probably not going to hear that on CNN or MSNBC, okay? You're not going to hear it on a major network. But it seemed like it to me, because the area apparently was an area that was heavily, heavily frequented by younger people in their 20s and stuff. And so foot traffic was already high from young people, period. And this is all, of course, prior to the pandemic situation. So all of a sudden you let everybody out at one time and you put Halloween on top of it. What? Not a good thing. It didn't work out. It just, not good. Not good. You know, my prayers and condolences and sympathies are with these families. You know, I watched some of the videos of family members who were finding out that their loved one had been killed, and it's just devastating. It's devastating. It's terrible. It's terrible. So, you know, be careful out there, fam. You know, be mindful of your surroundings. In all of the years of the ball drop at Times Square, I don't believe we've ever had an incident of this magnitude, you know. And people always make jokes and talk about people from New York don't go to see the ball drop. I actually did go 2 times in my whole life. And, yes, it was crowded, organized type of crowded. You have sections. You have barricades. You have spaces where if something goes wrong, everyone can run and get away. This was not organized properly, and I don't believe that the police or the emergency rescue people were prepared, but they did a fantastic job at doing their best to aid these people. Like, this was absolutely bonkers. I don't think something like this could have actually even been staged in a movie unless you're using CGI, because the mountains of people... It was like there was a bottleneck at the end of the block. It's like, it's terrible. And being one, sidebar, who has experienced a few stampedes, couple of shootouts, different things I have, you know, in an entertainment industry, you experience things. I think that the worst experience that I had was actually at Summer Stage. In New York City, in Central Park, it was the shelter party for Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan performed. I was in the front, right up against the stage. And because, you know, Chaka is a superstar, she's just one of the most amazing artists ever. Everybody and their grandmother came, and it was overcrowded. And for some reason, people were pressing towards the stage. So by the end of her performance, I had my head down. I was literally laying down, being smashed against the stage. It took everything inside of me to not just jump on the stage, but I was like, security will rough me up, and I mean, probably be more jacked up than I would be in the first place. But I just literally had to put my head down. I was like, I have to just calm down. I need to focus on my breathing, get as much oxygen as I can. This will be over soon. That's what I kept telling myself. And eventually, I just kind of would shimmy to the left until I could get away from the stage. It was terrible. So my situation, I had some control over it. I managed to, you know, get out. I didn't pass out. I was all right. I didn't have to be hospitalized, nothing like that. This was something completely different. This thing that happened in Seoul was completely different, and I feel for them. I'm like, y'all, when we go out to these large people gatherings and what have you, these large gatherings, please be careful. Be careful. My husband and I, we do a lot of festivals. We like to be on the outskirts. I don't want to be in the middle of the cut. I really don't. I might have my stuff on the outskirts and walk in, walk out. But I'm not staying in there. I don't want to do that because if something really goes off, all hell gonna break loose. So, again, prayers, condolences, and sympathies go out to the families of these individuals who were killed. It's just, it's tragic. It's tragic. Moving on, we almost had another death right here in San Francisco because Nancy Pelosi's husband, 82-year-old Paul Pelosi, suffered a brutal attack in their home in San Francisco a couple of days ago. The assailant was yelling, "Where's Nancy? Where is Nancy?" Apparently, David DePep, 42 years old, is being charged with several counts, and Paul Pelosi has undergone surgery on his skull and his hand. The attack happened around 2 a.m., okay? Wildly out of control. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. People, they wanted to break Nancy Pelosi's knees. This is what they said. I find it very, very interesting when people resort to such violence, such levels of violence, especially in a situation where I don't really think it's deemed. I don't think it's deemed necessary. I really don't. If you disagree with the politician, then you vote against them. And you may get other people together to try to vote against them if you disagree with this particular politician. Why you want to go and attack people and hurt people? Even with this election that's coming up, stuff is off the heezy, okay? Why do we have white men in masks carrying shotguns and or AR-15s at polling sites for drop boxes? What's that about? That right there, I was like, oh, wait a minute. And have they been arrested? Isn't that against the law? I have a lot of questions. I just think it's interesting that they could just ante up and sit there and intimidate people, you know, which could prevent people from wanting to drop their ballot in that particular box. But how is it that you can infringe on a voting procedure? How can you do that? How can you intimidate members of the public? I don't understand that. So they said, well, the sheriff came. Did they arrest them? Did they apprehend these individuals? Or are they just sitting in the same parking lot? Attention to a lot of the craziness that we're seeing going on, including these races with these different Republicans against Democrats and blah, 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 all that stuff. Let me tell you something. This is fierce. I got to thank my dear friend, Roz, for sending me a tweet on Herschel Walker, because I'm not one for Herschel Walker. I talked about him before with y'all. We had that conversation. But it was deep. There's a tweet on No Lie with Brian Tyler Cohen, okay? And the tweet is dismantling of Herschel Walker by Pastor Jamal Bryant. Ooh, 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 ooh. You want to talk about fire, straight fire. He went in. He was talking about how Herschel Walker has been taking orders from white men since he was about 16 years old. He said, I'm telling him when to eat, when to go to sleep, when to play football. He went in on everything. And at the end, he just kept saying over and over again, we don't need a walker. We don't need a walker. He said, we need a runner. I was on the floor. I was like, I'm co-signing that. Check. He said, we don't need a walker. We need a runner. I said, oops, all right. There we go. Okay. I was like, all right. exercise your vote. Do what you got to do. I'm hoping for the best with this one because these people are really out of control. But it's interesting because, another little sidebar, we got rid of cable. We were like, okay, we're getting rid of this. Okay, this is too much money, and for what? Y'all are just getting all this money for no daggone reason, and I'm not necessarily being provided the most fantastic service. Like, it's just too much money. And I remember even when I was single and my cable bill with the cable and the phone and the internet was like over $350. And I'm like, for what? I'm going to work. I'm going away. I'm not even here. Why am I paying for this? So we decided to, you know, cut back a little bit and get rid of that. And, you know, just get Amazon Fire Stick and get some apps and stuff. Well, lo and behold, when searching for the news, you got a gazillion Fox networks that keep coming up. I'm like, good Lord. It's a lot. I'm not joking. It's a lot. And I'm like, no wonder everybody's so crazy. You have way too many networks. If you have this many networks and all of these little people out here, you know, watching your networks, then they're believing your hype. So it's not just that you have Fox News. Honey, you got at least 5 different Fox outlets and apps. I was taken aback. I said, oh, this is why they're so crazy. You know, where we live, there's a guy that drives around in a big old pickup truck with a million flags all on this thing. He's built these flag posts and stuff, and I guess he probably soldered it to the cab, not the cab, the bed of the pickup truck, and he's got the Trump flag, and he's got, you know, live free or die, even though I'm all about live free or die. But he's got, you know, all the, go Brandon. He's got all the negative flags about Biden. Just, you know, Trump 2024. He's got all these flags. I mean, he's got, it's definitely eye-catching. Definitely eye-catching, okay? Because it's a gazillion flags. And he likes to drive up and down our main road and around the large parking lot where a supermarket and other stores are, what have you. And I was just like, okay, I have several things to say. I'm not necessarily offended because you want to, you know, have flags that promote Trump and other idiotic things. Whatever. That's the business. But I just found it interesting because, you know, I said, well, he obviously is not concerned about the environment. Because the truck is old, it's a gas guzzler, you can hear like, you know, and he just rides around with flags all day. So Mother's just hoping for a very large gust of wind to possibly come one day, maybe when it's in an area where it's kind of flat and open and there aren't any other cars or buildings around, maybe the large gust of wind will just kind of take him up into the clouds. That might be nice. I mean, there's more flags on this that it could become airborne. I'm not joking. So, you know, if ever a large gust of wind could come, because he is too much. And we see him almost every day. I don't believe he has a job. I think this is the job. I don't know his, you know, source of income or anything like that. I just find it interesting that he's just riding around all the time with all these flags. I mean, all the time. You'll see him on the highway. It's just flags. I mean, you know, imagine, seriously, 30 flags flying off of the bed of a pickup truck down a highway. You don't see that every day. So, yeah, he's a staple out here where we are. But I was like, well, you know, and my husband saw him again today and I was cracking up. And I was like, if only a nice, good gust of wind could come, he could just, you know. Anyway, it's just too much, you know, a lot of propaganda going on. There's a lot of nonsense going on. And believe me, I am not one to sit up here and say the Democratic Party or any party is a saint. Because they are, as I continue to always say, we are talking about 2 broken wings on 1 retarded bird. People get all excited. Right wing, left wing. It's the same stupid bird. I'm just trying to go where sense and sensibility is. I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed in the debate between Fetterman and Oz. You know, I don't care for Oz in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I know he's just a Hollywood wannabe, and I don't believe that he has any type of good policy, aside from the fact that the man is a puppy killer. You know, and had a whole bunch of products that didn't really work. Like, you know, you're an opportunist, basically. He's very much like Trump, just a little bit thinner and from Turkey. But whatever, it's the same situation as far as I'm concerned. I think haven't we had enough of that? It's very unattractive. And I know that you have other countries that are dealing with their craziness as well, you know, especially like England, you know, just lost another prime minister, the shortest term of a prime minister in history. I guess Sally got on and figured out the BS wasn't worth it. She's like, I got to bail. If not, I'm going to probably go to jail. So let me just get out. Let me get out. And it's deep because she was actually the one that even Republicans over here were just touting her name and saying, oh, she needs to win. She's great. She's great. Because they wanted to have all these other financial policies in place. But as we saw, as soon as Boo Boo took office, first of all, Boo Boo took office, but then the Queen kicked the bucket. When the Queen kicked the bucket, everything changed. Silver dropped. The price of silver per ounce dropped drastically as soon as Lizzie hit the dirt. What is wrong? So, then this prime minister, this female prime minister, everything was just shaky, shaky and shady. It wasn't going well. It was a slippery slope, honey. And she went down it and was like, I got to get out. Absolutely historical. And the fact that these male Republican crazy individuals over here wanted to copycat what they wanted to do in Britain should really give insight to the rest of us. Because their ideas that they had in Britain, even Brexit, all of that is a mess. It is a financial disaster. Period. And it began to take hold. So she bailed. She's like, I gotta go. It's not working. I gotta go. Because it wasn't. So, you know, stay tuned. You know, but I think it's embarrassing. I think it's really sad as a nation, the things that we're witnessing, and even the candidates, you know, some of the candidates that are running, you know, how is it that you can run for office if you were found to be at the January 6th rally and even inside? Like, what is that? So I just, you know, pay attention. It's going to be interesting. We have, you know, some very special things getting ready to pop off. I could tell because heaven knows we can't allow the crazier side of the retarded bird. We can't let the right wing win. I'm sorry. I just think that they're out of touch with reality. I think that there's a lot of underlying racism in it. And this is one of the other reasons why I do get an attitude about the fact that Herschel Walker is running and they want him to run. Like, that's a distraction for us. That's a distraction. Okay, well, if we put him up, you know, this big black football player, ex-football player, whatever, if we put him up, oh, all the black people, they're going to vote for him. They're going to vote. No, we're not. No, we're not. Nope. Sorry, you lost that one. We're not doing that. That's not what we're doing. You know, and they think that we're stupid, and they think that we're slow. You know, and that is annoying to me because, you know, we're faster than lightning, and they know that they need us, but you don't like us. You have no real love for us. So, no, sorry, not going to fly, you know, and we're going to see how this goes, but I'm saying a big, big no to Herschel Walker running for anything, okay? All right. So, more on the Kanye files. I had stated 2 weeks ago that the initial comments that he had made were not untrue. You know, and don't nobody come for me for it, but I know my history, and I'm a smart individual. I don't just read books, but I buy them. And a lot of what he said was true. And you do have, like, the Anti-Defamation League and these different institutions where, you know, it's all about watching out, you know, for that particular community. But the original Jew, original, is black. and the Ethiopian Jew, the philosophers, like, there's a lot. So he didn't say an untruth, but they don't want this to be told, especially by a black billionaire. Oh, heaven forbid. So Boo-Boo has now gone from the frying pan into the fire. I said, dagnabbit, Kanye, it's bad enough that, you know, of course he got dropped from Adidas, and, you know, now Morehouse College in Atlanta canceled the Donda basketball tournament, and, you know, he's suspended from Instagram and all these types of things. But, you know, now they're talking about his obsession with Adolf Hitler and that he supposedly wanted to name his most recent album Hitler. I was like, oh, boy. I don't know. I don't know what's going through the child's mind. I have no idea. I'm like, somebody help the boy. That's all I got to say. Somebody help the boy. It's very interesting. We have to be, you know, and I'm not, how would I put this? And I'm like, and don't come for me. I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to try to let it go, but I don't want anybody to get too frazzled. One of the reasons why Adolf Hitler was groomed to be Adolf Hitler through the Fool Society, the Vril Society, he had been in these organizations for a while. He was being groomed for his position. And I need to express again, the Holocaust could have never happened without the contribution of wealthy Jewish people. Do not come for me. I'm telling you a truth. The funding behind the Holocaust was magnanimous. And you had contributors, the likes of Rothschild, Rockefeller, Bush. Prescott Bush was in it on both sides. He was selling oil to the Americans and oil to the Germans during World War II. Like, don't get your panties in a bunch and get all emotional about what you saw. Because, yes, it was terrible. I'm not going to say that that was fine in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It was horrible. However, one of the so-called reasons why they instituted such a thing was based upon some of the unpopular practices within the Jewish community, specifically the individuals who followed the Talmud, which was a book of laws and things that were written from Babylonia. It wasn't necessarily a part of Judaism, but you had certain priests and rabbis and what have you within the Jewish community, the Talmud, into their practices. This is not a good thing. Within the Talmud, it's even written that, you know, grown men can have sex with young children, boy or girl. There's a lot of stuff that is not good that we would consider relatively immoral in the Talmud. So individuals that followed the Talmud were looked at as a negative thing. Let me just say it that way. Hence, this campaign was instituted to get rid of them. Now, prior to that, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, you've got the Order of Zion and the protocols of the Order of Zion is a book, that lists all these different quote-unquote protocols on how the world is supposed to be operated by the Zionists. Now, when Zionism comes into play, that's when you get more money, because you begin to get white people from Great Britain, white people from other parts of Europe that are now seeking residence in the Holy Land, quote unquote. Some of them moved there. They came to kick out the Palestinians who had been there for hundreds of years. They even encroached upon the Black Jewish community that was right there, I believe, in Tel Aviv, in quote-unquote Israel. And they went to beat up on them and get rid of them and all that kind of stuff because, you know, we need to eradicate the fact that the original Jewish person is a Black African. That's the issue. That's a problem for them. And so I know it. I have the documentation to support it. I have the physical experience to support it. I was in Israel for several weeks. I got to see a lot. And, yeah, I saw a whole lot of Black African Jewish people, okay? But they don't get out much. And they definitely don't find themselves being interviewed on CNN, okay? But they're there. So now they have reached the point where they are in semi-control of most things that are happening within people activity. So they own the media, they own Hollywood, which is Hollywood, you know, they own politics, they own everything, they own it. Okay? Sports, they own it. So they've created a game for other individuals to be forced to play while they control everything. And they're also ruled by somebody above them as well. But they have so much control, it's really nauseating. And I will leave you with this point. One of the major tenets that they stated within the Protocols of Zion was that they were going to take over the world through brute force and make believe. Yes, I said brute force and make believe. Brute force is when you get your behind toe up, okay? That's what they want to rule by. And so here we are. So I have empathy for Kanye. I want him to get himself together. I really do. Now he's running around with White Lives Matter shirts on and hanging out with Candace Owens and her husband. And I'm just like, okay, it's too much. It's a lot going on. I'm really trying. I don't know where you're going with this. That's really what I want to say. I don't know where he's going with it. You know, I don't know if he needs a Mau Mau, like in Bamboozle. I don't know if he needs to get it together. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. You know, but I do continue to stand by my original statements, backing up what he had originally said, those three things that he said, three or four things that he said. They were upset and angry. I'm like, why are you guys tasing a bunch of the boys told the truth? Y'all do have all the money. You know? And, I mean, you know, it's sad he wanted to poo-poo, you know, Kwanzaa. But I'm just like, and Christmas, but I'm like, okay, well, Kwanzaa really means first fruit. It means a time of harvest and when you're supposed to plant. That's what Kwanzaa means. But, like, when it comes to Hanukkah, what? He'll be all right. I hope they don't assassinate him, actually. I really hope they don't hurt him because a lot going on right now these days. And I wouldn't be surprised if he just disappears. Now, I'm going to talk about this real quick. We're going to dive in. Get ready. Fasten your chin straps, please. Ooh. So y'all know, you know, I work with children. I've been working with children for years, but I'm working more so with small children these days. All right? But I'm going to be real right now. I'm going to keep it really real with y'all right now. As heaven is my witness, I have gotten sick four times now. I'm like, what in the green grass pastures is going on? You know, I am very grateful to have lived a full adult life where I have maintained my health quite well, considering the garbage that's out there in our food or even stuff that's labeled as food and it ain't food. You know, I do need a checkup. But this far, I don't have any prescriptions that I take or anything like that. All right? And I would only get a bad cold or a flu maybe once a year. For me to have gotten sick now four times, this is really some bull hockey pucks, okay? This is ridiculous for me. And so I want to just ask, for those of you with small children, are you even giving them juice? Are they receiving any nutrients at all? Or are they just a whole bunch of new GMO babies. Because they cough and they sneeze and they cough, and now we got RSV we're dealing with. Like, it's ridiculous. And I think a lot of it has to do with these crazy vaccines. I've talked about this before. Again, I don't need y'all coming for me. You can go on YouTube and look up Dr. Christina Parks. She'll break it down about how bad vaccines really are. All of them. You know, you want your flu shot? I don't get a flu shot. I don't want a flu shot. I don't get a flu shot. Leave me alone. Go somewhere with the flu shot. But it's really deep, and I'm starting to get a bit of an attitude. I love the babies. Please don't get me wrong. But dagnabbit, I'm compromising my immune system by working with your daggone kids. Oh, and here's a quick sidebar. Since today is Halloween, okay, get ready. Y'all want to call your children kids. Not really a good idea. So we're going to take a little turn, all right? Stay with me. Children were often called lambs, L-A-M-B-S, before being called kids. A kid was also associated with sea captains that would buy children from criminals in the 17th century to be used as laborers and slaves in different British colonies. Kids. Some of them became enlisted by British soldiers as soldiers and sailors. Now, you know that the word kid really means baby goat. All right, the offspring of a goat is a kid. And there are some that say, oh, well, the crying of a baby goat sounds very similar to the crying of a child. Okay, but that doesn't make the child a goat, and it doesn't make the goat a child. Hello? But the deepest part of this, and I want you to stay with me real quick because I'm taking a turn, stay with me. Baby goats are heavily associated with the demonic entities such as the Baphomet, B-A-P-H-O-M-E-T. The Baphomet is the winged, goat-headed man who's kind of buff, with women's breasts that sits on a throne, okay, with his legs crossed at the bottom, like his shins are crossed, right over left. He holds up two fingers, his index and middle finger, of his right hand, so his elbow makes like a 45-degree angle. And his left hand is lowered. Excuse me. I'm going on. Standing on his right side is a little white girl. All right? She's much shorter. It's a little white girl. She's looking up at him, like looking up to him. Her right arm is down at her side, and she's smiling at him. However, on his left side stands a little black boy. Okay? His arm is bent to his chest. And he isn't smiling at all. Now, the Baphomet's hand is down behind the little black boy. And it looks like he's got his index finger and his middle finger pointing outwards down behind the boy. Are you with me? Because we're talking about symbology here, all right? It also wears a skirt where the fabric on the right side, where the little white girl stands, is over his knee, like above the knee. On the side with the little black boy, it's over the knee. It has a right side up pentacle or five-pointed star in its forehead and an upside down pentacle, five-pointed star, above its head inside of a circle, which is a symbol for witchcraft all over the world. It even has a caduceus, which is the staff used in medicine, the staff with the two serpents that are like intertwined around it, and the caduceus has wings at the top. Well, boo-boo, this ain't got no wings, but this is right there in the middle of its chest, like into its stomach is the caduceus. I don't know what it's supposed to represent. I was like, maybe the chakras, but it doesn't go up the whole body. It just goes up to the chest. And there's no wings on the top of it, whereas the winged staff with the serpents around it is what the actual symbol is. This is just the a symbol of two serpents around the staff. I'll go into that a little bit later. But I was like, oh, okay. What is going on today? This day also marks 29 years since the death of the young Hollywood star, River Phoenix. River Phoenix died at age 23, supposedly from a drug overdose in Hollywood in 1993 on this day, on Halloween. I never bought the story. Y'all know me, okay? It smelled funny to me, and it still smells funny to me. Something's just not right. And it was Halloween in Hollywood. I was like, come on, man. And we can no longer be so naive. Like, there's madness going on the planet. And today happens to be a major holiday within the Satanic Church. This is like bigger than New Year's for them. All right? It's all about tricking, but it's shown up ain't about no treating. I have a parental advisory warning. I was reading, I did some research, and I was reading, and I received this particular article from the Christian Research Institute, and it's titled, The Hard Facts About Satanic Ritual Abuse. Written by Bob and Gretchen Passantino. So, a teenage girl who's impregnated during a satanic ritual is forcibly delivered of her nearly term baby and then made to ritually kill the child and eat the child's heart as cult members watch. Another girl, small child, is literally sewn inside of the cavity of a disemboweled animal, rebirthed, end quote, by her cultic captors in a grotesque ceremony. Here's another one. A preschool class is systematically abused sexually, emotionally, and physically by members of a nationwide, nearly invincible network of satanic pedophiles and pornographers. How about this one? A young girl is thrown into an electrified cage with wolves and ritually tortured to deliberately produce a wolf personality, part of her multiple personality disorder, MPD. These are but a few of the thousands and thousands of horrifying stories circulating throughout the United States and abroad. Some of the true believers, quote-unquote, in satanic ritual abuse say that more than 100,000 adult survivors have undergone therapy and remembered these horrible abuses. Others, more than double this number. These terrifying accounts are linked to the current public concern about child abductions by strangers, which true believers claim number in the thousands annually. True believers say the conspiracy is almost invincible, covers the nation, if not the world, and invokes key power players in the courts, education, politics, religion, and society in general. True believers provide unconditional support to alleged adult survivors whose therapeutically recovered quote-unquote memories typically implicate their elderly parents in heinous crimes, including murder, cannibalism, sex torture, incest, and bestiality. Alleged victims bring their cases to law enforcement officials, hoping for criminal prosecution. Some obtain restraining orders, barring their parents from seeing them or their grandchildren. Some cut all ties with family and simply disappear. A few of them begin new lives as television and radio talk show guests and stuff, sharing their gruesome stories from coast to coast during after-school television time. Almost all are in the midst of long-term intensive therapeutic counseling. Many undergo dozens of psychiatric hospitalizations and take part in almost daily therapy sessions and support group meetings. Tragically, small children are sometimes snatched from their parents' custody on the whisper of a suspicion that their parents may be SRA. SRA participants, which is Satanic Rights Association or something to that effect. True Believers Among Therapists, alleged adult survivors, law enforcement officials, journalists, and Christian leaders unanimously call for the public to believe the stories to change the justice system so recovered memories alone can bring convictions in criminal court and to rise up against this astonishingly powerful satanic conspiracy. If the alleged victims' allegations are true, then such reactions are to be expected. If they're false, then countless families and reputations are being destroyed for nothing. Truth is being ignored. Biblical standards of evidence and testimony are being discarded. Survivors are being trapped in long-term destructive therapeutic situations, and Satan is getting more credit than he is due. The article goes on. I'm going to try to cover it over the next few weeks because I can't do it all in one episode. It's too much. But again, we do not live in Mickey Mouse world. We do not live in a cartoon. Like, this is reality, but this is really happening. And so even with everything that was going on, again, I'm going to talk about the Jeffrey Epstein situation with the trafficking of the young girls and Ghislaine Maxwell. And apparently recently, Ghislaine Maxwell just dropped a bomb about Bill Clinton. Y'all about to do your homework. I was like, oh, okay. Okay. Like, the behavior of these individuals is astounding. It is astounding. Again, I will urge you to try to do a little research, if you can, on Hillary Clinton and the New York City Division of the FBI, as well as local law enforcement in New York with regard to Hillary Clinton. Y'all might throw up. There are a lot of individuals that participate and partake in these types of acts. It's coming out now more than ever. And I pray that these children, oh my gosh, will be saved, spared, that the operation is busted, that it's not going to work. I mean, they were taking children on submarines all around the world under the order to do their bidding, to do their nasty business. Y'all know if you take a child too young, they won't remember anything. I have a horrible feeling that this is what's happened with many of the children that came through the border that we so-called lost in the presidency of Donald J. Trump. Some children got lost. We're talking about thousands of children lost. So while people are trying to have fun, you know, and maybe be outside trick-or-treating or, you know, what, dressed in gruesome costumes, I don't know why somebody want to emulate dead people. I don't want to emulate the dead. I don't want to be a skeleton. I don't want to be a ghost. None of those things. I don't get it. I've never gotten the whole getting all excited about deadly things. No, sorry. I remember when the movie Beetlejuice came out, and I was like, for real? This is what we're doing? Just interesting how certain cultures have a fixation with death. And the origins of Halloween are not pleasant either, because the origins of Halloween have to deal with, let's get this right, and y'all stay with me as best you can because I'm in my brain. Back in the days, in Europe and in Britain, especially in Britain, because remember, Britain was Britain and then Britain became Britain, but still, we're talking about Great Britain. The original inhabitants of Great Britain are African people. And as wild Europeans would come across Northern Europe, they found themselves on the British Isles. So whether it was Great Britain itself, whether it was Scotland, Ireland, you know, Wales, those areas were inhabited by African people. So these people came over and went to war with these people and subsequently killed a lot of these people, okay? They killed a lot of the original African Britain individual. So time goes by, and now they're afraid. Now their latter generation has become afraid of the fact that they knew they massacred all these African people. So they, and they had them all buried in a cemetery not far from where they are. So they're like, okay, well, they created a jack-o'-lantern to ward off spirits that might possibly come alive on All Hallows Eve. And so they began to try to ward the spirits off because they were afraid that the spirits would come to life and come and kill them because they themselves had killed all these people. That's where you get your origins of Halloween. And the other part of it, I think, has to do with the Satanic Church because it's a very big, big, humongous holiday in the Satanic Church. But it gets disguised as fun and merriment and, oh, a little trickery. Ooh. But it said that on Halloween, the dead can rise and walk amongst the living. And you won't be able to tell the difference because the living are already in costume and what have you, in folly. So the dead would blend in. The zombie could come to life and blend in. And those souls have to be back in the grave by All Saints Day, which is the preceding Sunday, the next Sunday. So I do find that to be very interesting because, again, you get to, what's the word, camouflage actual wickedness and evil. You can camouflage it under the guise of Halloween. And these people take it so seriously. It's so interesting to me. I ain't got not near a decoration for a Halloween in his house, on his house, around his house, nothing. We don't do that here. I haven't done that since I became conscious damn near 30 years ago. Like, no, no, and no again. No. And it's just, it's so interesting to me. I'm sorry, it is, because they have sacrifices, and I think one of the big ones for this one is to sacrifice a virgin, I believe. This particular one. Because I know, like, New Year's Day is another satanic holiday. Christmas Day is a satanic holiday. Like, a lot of satanic holidays are covered over by stuff that a lot of people do. And they have no idea what's really going on. Children have been abducted today. Death and all kind of not good stuff is happening tonight. It is associated with Halloween. So watch out. Protect your children. If you do engage and indulge, you know, check their candy, all that kind of stuff. Be careful out here. We got some crazy folks out here. When we were young, okay, yeah, we had to look for that, you know, the razor blade and the apple. And, you know, if candy had looked like it had been opened and then closed again, then we wouldn't eat that. We are talking 40 years later now. And, honey, it is not good. So please be careful. Please. Okay, this is very, very, very serious. It is real. It is happening. It is going on. Please do not sleep. It's going on. I'm going to touch on some more about it next article. So long, it's disgusting. You try to get all the way through it without hurling, it's a good thing. I'm just saying. All right, just remember that. Please remember that. Share that with family and friends. Like, Halloween is nothing for us to participate in. It is very, very negative. It does not have a good thing, and it's also a moneymaker anyway. Like, just don't even do it. Just let it ride, okay? Let it ride. Oh. Now, I want to go on to some of what I've also been covering. Y'all know I've been covering. When I had posed the question a few weeks ago about why we were taught Greco-Roman history without learning about the African presence in Greco-Roman history. when we were in junior high school and what have you. We're learning all about Greco ministry, la, 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 trying to make everybody look all fantastic, and we're learning about Plato and all that, but you don't give any credit whatsoever to Assad or Aset or to Imhotep or Yehudi or any of those things. Yehudi, by the way, is where Judaism comes from. Yehudi is what Judaism comes from. Another story. But I'm just trying to say, we never, ever learned this on a whole. Now, if you're lucky and you get to go to a historical black university, you may get some of this there. You might get some of this there. But in all shapes, forms, and fashions, it really does not behoove the machine to divulge the big secrets, because then it makes them no longer the hero of the day or the most incredible thing in the world or the hottest thing since sliced bread. So everything just gets buried. It gets buried. And now we even have this discussion still going on about which empire is older, the Babylonian and Assyrian empire or the African empires. And I'm like, why is this even a question? It's the African empires. This is hard for me. And I know things did happen in other parts of the world, and especially when it comes to things like the Enuma Elish and the works of Zechariah Sitchin and stuff like that and the Lost Book of Enki and da-da-da. Okay. But that does not negate the origin of humanity. So in any event, I'll give you a couple of things. I just want to give you a couple of things. You know, there were actually Roman emperors that were African. Septimus Severus, his son Caligula, and Emperor Pinorius are all of African lineage. Did you know that in Italy, in the Museum of Alessandro de' Medici, he's a black man. He's an African man that was born in Italy. And it's obvious and stated that he himself was an African born in Italy. Y'all heard about the De Medici family. You know the Medici family. You've heard that name. Everybody wants to think that they're white. No, they're not. Maybe they became later, but no, they didn't originate that way. Okay? Ancient Phoenicians, the people of Phoenicia are African people. We don't use the term Phoenicia anymore, but yes, the Phoenicians, that doesn't mean that they're not African. Hannibal the Great. I talked about Hannibal before because I have a thing for Hannibal. Hannibal was awesome. Hannibal was so powerful and fearless and very handsome, by the way. But Hannibal Barca is a black man. Hannibal's father, Hamilcar, and his brother, Hasdrubal, were all African, black African. We don't learn this. Even if we do get a piece of wind of the Punic Wars with Hannibal, Hannibal's always white. I'm like, well, where did the elephants come from? Because you don't have elephants in Europe. But he took elephants, Swiss Alps, with a team of elephants. It's true. A black man. Where did elephants come from? Elephants come from Africa. Hi. Yes, we have them in China and we have them in India, but they're really the biggest ones. The huge elephants are from Africa. Hello? As much as folks study the Bible, they don't know that the first three people to die for Christ were three African women. And please do not forget that Yahshua himself was a North African black man. All of the disciples, black. And even all of the Marys. Okay? Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, Auntie Mary, all the Marys. We're talking about African women. Please. This is so crucial, it's insane. The University of Salamanca in Spain, the very first university in all of Europe, in Spain, was built by the African Moors. Okay? It actually mimics the educational system of the University of Djenne in ancient Ghana, all right, which was burnt down and then later rebuilt in the city of Sankore, in the city of Timbuk, later called Timbuktu. Okay? These are the very same Moors that controlled all of Spain, Portugal, France, and other parts of Europe. For over, stay with me, 700 years. From 711 to 1490-ish is how long they reigned. And they're the ones that civilized Europe. I always talk about this. I know I'm like a broken record. If you heard it, live with it. If you haven't heard it, open your ears. Please understand. It's the Moors who came and civilized the Europeans. It's the Moors who came and got rid of disease and famine and pestilence in Europe. It's the Moor who introduced soap and deodorant, toothpaste. It's the Moor that introduced wearing clothing, wearing underwear, wearing drawers that you have on a garment to wick the moisture from your body, especially in your private areas, to absorb that moisture so you wouldn't get infection or any type of diseases or anything like that. Don't forget it. Also, all of the people who occupied the Mediterranean islands, they're all originally African people. You never ask yourself a question about why Sicilians are so dark. And Sicily is an island which sits right at the bottom of Italy. It's the part, it looks like Italy's kicking Sicily. Sicilians are dark, honey. All right? That, okay, the European gets excited once written works like, you know, plays and stuff and things that Homer seems to have written come into play, you know, and they get all excited, you know, but it's even stated in those works that the concept of God comes from Africa. Zeus and Apollo are African concepts. Spoke about this a little while ago. The original Ethiopian Jews were the Falasha, and the Falashas were massacred by Mussolini and the Italians with the aid of Pope Pius XI. Okay? The Falashas' population of 5 million. By the time the Italians left, there were 50,000 Falashas left. This was a Holocaust. And it precedes Hitler's Holocaust, but for very, very different reasons. It's heavy because they want to erase our presence. I had a conversation the other night with some sisters, and I was just saying, you know, what gets under my skin is that you, when I say you, I'm speaking editorially. They want to hate us. They want to love to hate us. You want to say that we're worth nothing. You want to treat us like garbage, but yet everything that we produce, you take. How effed up can I be if everything that I do, you take? My music, my food, my fashion, my design, my architecture, my everything. But I'm not worth nothing. How can I be the lowest head on the totem pole when you take everything I have? You're running with it. You got hip-hop all in the commercials. Y'all see it. If you watch the NFL game, it's just nothing but blackness and hip-hop. And come on now. But yet, oh, we're not worth nothing. You let brothers in now, their quarterbacks, slaying these other teams. The Baltimore Ravens just beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A black quarterback, Lamar Jackson, beat Tom Brady. But we can't look at it that way. Just like, it's just a football game. You just gotta just play the game. It's okay. I'm paying attention. You know, I try to keep my swag tight because I'm like, wherever I go, I'm representing. There's no way in the world I'm walking with my head held down or I feel like I'm less than or below or beneath or any of those types of things because I know our history. I know our legacy. We are everything. Now, when we start walking that way and treating each other that way and we start breaking these spells that NASA has put on us in terms of trusting each other, being honest and righteous with each other, protecting and watching out for each other, building together, because Lord knows, soon we get together and start building stuff, they get an attitude, they get upset, and they try to figure out a way to get rid of it. But I'm just saying, ultimately, when we're moving in that type of energy, because we just know, things will change. Things will change. Everybody's trying to get into this beige melting pot. And I'm like, you can do that if you want to. That's not my MO. I am still going to be proud and do my best to educate as many as possible about our history, our knowledge of self, that which we created, and that of who we really are to this day. Because we are fabulous. We just seem to have forgotten about it. And even for all of my traveling men out there, for all of the Masons out there, y'all have been duped into believing that Masonry began 3,200 years ago with Solomon. Wrong answer. The Grand Vizier of Kemet, Imhotep, started Masonry and Freemasonry at that. 2 years, 3,200 years, 3,200 years at least before Solomon. And it happened around the time that he was building the step pyramid for King Djoser in Saqqara. They always want the Masons to believe it starts with Solomon. It starts with Solomon. No, it doesn't start with Solomon. Although Solomon knew, Solomon was knowledgeable. Solomon was a Mason. But no, he didn't start it. Okay? Interestingly enough, even when it comes to the British crown, the whole thing about the Palace of Windsor, the House of Windsor, that's not even their name. It was called the House of Saxe-Coburg and Gotha. And has a long association with Windsor, but those individuals in the palace, especially King Edward VII, son of Queen Victoria, did not like the way Saxe-Coburg and Gotha sounded. It sounded kind of German. And so it was King Edward, in 1901, during World War I, who chose the name Windsor. Okay? And he did it primarily so that their name would no longer sound German. Y'all know I look at the House of Windsor as a house of thieves because you stole everything. You stole everything from Africa, all the jewels, all the gold, everything. You stole all your concepts, everything that is based around royalty in Britain has been directly stolen point blank. I don't care who you are, where you're at, that's what it is. And everybody gets all excited when they see stuff. They get excited about the fanfare and the scepters and this, that, and the other. Africans were the first to have scepters. Africans were the first to wear crowns. So the cult of vulturism, as I call it, is alive and well. And I do believe it's up to us to make sure that we can the narrative and stand strong on what we know when we're having this discussion with other individuals who may not know. Because it's, Doc, I saw you, you got to come back. because I see that until when we don't know, we start guessing and we start doing stuff that is not healthy for us. But we can't really afford to do that. I don't think that we should be doing that anymore. You understand? This is why we have young black women running around with rainbow pony hair, because they don't really know the value of themselves. In fact, I'll go a step further. If ever you're going to wear rainbow pony hair, today would be the day. Halloween would be the day. Unless you have a masquerade party or you have some type of costume party and you're dressing up and things like that. To me, those are the only times when you should be wearing rainbow pony hair. Because that kind of hair does not come out your head. Naturally. Quick sidebar. There's a really, really awesome lecture, interview, whatever you want to call it, by 19 Keys. And he's with Yaki Awakening. And just put that in YouTube. Put in 19 Keys, K-E-Y-S, with Yaki Awakening. Absolutely fantastic. Brother Yaki is a natural, holistic healer. And he speaks about his journey and what he went through to change his life and things that he had to do. And he talks about the influence of Dr. Sabi. You know, and Dr. Sabi helping to heal him and the things and, you know, choices and changes that he made. Really, really profound. You really got to check it out. You know, but it's deep because, again, we're supposed to be, you know, like persona non grata. We're supposed to be not important. We're supposed to just, you know, just be slaving and working. We're supposed to just be, you know, on a chain gang somewhere. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be, I'm supposed to be cooking up some cornbread right now. Come on. You know, so I'm like, I just think that's very interesting. And I'm on a mission to make sure that we stay in the light we're supposed to be in. We cannot let our legacy be hijacked completely. We can't. You know, you have more white women now assimilating into what black hip-hop culture was orchestrated into being. Not that that had much to do with this either, because it was orchestrated, this whole looking like a prostitute and having fake body parts and, you know, eyelashes that fan a person when you blink and all these kind of things. All that was constructed, again, by the Zionist movement and entertainment. So the black woman in that industry was just supposed to be a Jezebel, okay? So she's got on a shirt, fur coat, jacket with a thong, bouncing up and down, shaking booty cheeks, all kind of interesting things. That's who she's supposed to be. I'm like, that's not who we are. That's not who we are. So protect your little girls and what they're watching. Pay attention to what they're looking at. You know, when they went so far, I'm really taken aback by Megan Thee Stallion. Names like Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj, names like that are insane to me. Why would any woman want to be associated with a menage a trois sexual situation? Why would anybody want to be called that? And that child pumped herself up with enough silicone. She could float away. Her behind doesn't even look natural. She can float away. Must look really interesting in a pool. I wonder if it even goes underwater. I wonder if she can dive. I don't know. It's just, it's too much. It's too much ass. It's too much. She didn't put too much back there. It had to hurt. I'm sure she couldn't sit down for a long time. I'm just saying, it's just unnatural. And we see this. And I'm like, that's not what I want young girls to aspire to want to become or want to look like. I don't want them to refer to themselves as a stallion, as a big horse. I'm like, Megan Thee Stallion. That is unconscionably, nauseatingly horrendous. Megan Thee Stallion. If I was her mother, I probably would have pimp slapped her so hard. I'm not even joking. I probably would have slapped into last week. You're going to come home talking about my artist name is Megan Thee Stallion. Excuse me? Did I give birth to a horse? What is going on here? It's sad. It's sad. You even have artists, what's the child's name? Because I could just see her face, but I don't listen to her music. But she plays the violin. But I'm like, you don't have to play the violin and the teddy and stockings. You don't have to do that. What's her name? That's terrible. Somebody will send it to me. Lizzo. You play violin. You should be dignified in what you're doing. And you can be sexy without being trashy. I'm even greatly disappointed. I am significantly disappointed in Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige is a top artist. There is no need for you to have your ass out every time you sing someplace. They're not coming to see your ass. They're coming to hear you sing. Nice outfits. I remember when I think it was Troye 3000 was making her clothes, you know, and I'm saying what I'm saying. I used to be on tour with her. You know, amazing artist. She's an amazing artist. And she would wear these beautiful outfits and these beautiful gowns with, you know, maybe the gown with the boots that come way up above like half your thigh. But you're just giving a peek. You're not giving it all away. And I feel like she's doing it because she feels like she has to compete with a Megan Thee Stallion, a Lizzo, who really shouldn't be in a teddy and some tights. Sorry, that's just me. I'm old-fashioned. I just don't think it's appropriate. In any event, I feel like she's trying to compete with them. You don't compete with Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj could be your daughter. You don't compete with them. There is no competition. Be elegant. Be eloquent. Do you in a classy way. These new outfits I'm seeing her in, I'm like, and are you ever going to have black hair again? Lord knows the hair that you're born with is black. Everybody knows your hair is not blonde. When are you going to give that up? When will you give up that long, crazy, wild blonde weave and these booty out outfits with these thigh-high sequence boots and looking like whole special number one? When are you going to stop that, boo? I remember how you were back in the day. I was there. I was on stage with you. I remember. I don't like how she's dressing these days. Everything is just holistic. Why? Just because you're a female artist with a vagina, you have to do that? I can't take it. I can't take it. It's so annoying to me. I'm really hoping, I got my fingers crossed, that when Rihanna comes back on stage, that she's also going to have some more respect for herself, even though she hasn't really been too bad as far as I'm concerned. But I'm hoping motherhood may help shape her consciousness to be a bit more regal. I'm like, come on, Riri, it's time to get regal. And I say the same thing about Mary J. Blige. I'm like, you're way too talented. You have way too many albums under your belt, tours, everything. You don't need to be competing with these young girls and booty cheeks out and all of that. You don't need to do it. Not at all. So I just, you know, again, it's important for us to always know that there are bigger things going on. It's very important for us to realize that there's a whole mess of stuff going on, even though we don't see it and we don't hear about it. It doesn't mean it's not happening. It doesn't mean it's not happening, okay? So I'm going back to this whole Halloween mess and just protect the children. Protect children, protect young women. I know when we're out late and we go to the gas station or something, I'm locking the doors. If he gets out and he goes into the little mini mart, I'm locking the door. I'm locking the door. I'm not playing games. We heard about a couple that was about to be hijacked not too far from it is pretty far from where we are. But still, who's rolling up on people at the gas station trying to carjack folks? Desperation is ensuing out here. Folks are really, they are. They're going to get more desperate. So please have your wits about you and be careful. But make sure that you are protecting children, young women, even young boys. If they're young boys and they're very attractive, watch out. Watch out for them, because they get abducted as well. The primary abductee, especially in the satanic church, are young white women. But they will sacrifice people of other ethnicities. So please be careful. Be careful and do your research. It's not what it's all cracked up to be. It's not just about, you know, some candy corn and some, you know, candy bars and things. No, it goes much deeper than that. And we've got to be aware so that we can protect our children, young women, and other individuals. It's very important. You know, I hope I didn't bum anybody out about it, but I just find it to be fierce that this whole operation continues to go on. It's been going on for so long. And as stated, it's like it's the biggest secret. And so many people are involved in it, but it's the biggest secret. So when I get off tonight, I am actually going to look up the recent news on Ghislaine Maxwell blowing Bill Clinton out the water. I'm like, oh, I wonder what she really had to say. So I'll check that out, because that was kind of interesting. But I knew he was on the manifest, he and many others. I knew he was on the manifest. So wasn't that offsetting? I knew he was on the manifest. I said, uh-oh. Now when you go, uh-oh, yeah, got to be more careful. Ooh. Before I go, I do want to just remind us, if you do vote, please vote if you do. You know, I know some people don't. I know some people have given up on the process, but I don't know. Right about now, I feel like we can't really abandon ship completely, because there's just too much happening that needs to be quelled and rolled back. And if these people really have their way, more and more rights will be taken away. You know, they came for their number one. They came for women. They came hard, okay? They remember when I talked about this a few months ago. I was like, this is like a huge pinch slap to every woman and young girl in this country. And I know that we're not having it. We're not having it. So if you have an opportunity and you can show up and show out and vote and make sure we can stop some of this madness from ensuing, I think that's a pretty good idea. You know, it is frightening to think of somebody like Mehmet Oz being a senator at all. That's frightening to me. I don't want to see him at a barbecue with Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. No, I really don't. You know, like I keep saying, what I find about the Republican Party especially is that they'll take Satan as a cabinet member. They'll, as long as they're on their side, they'll take anybody. You know, criminals, pedophiles, they'll take it. Whereas, and I know we probably got the same thing on the other side, but what I see with the Democrats is that they don't like that to be purported. So if a member of their party, whether it be in the Senate or Congress, does something so heinous and wild and crazy, they're going to get rid of them. They're going to kick them out. They're going to make them resign. Whereas the Republicans are like, oh, no, stay. Like Matt Gaetz and his having sex with young girls and what have you. You a grown man. I don't care if she thought she was 18. You a grown man. Why are you having sex with an 18-year-old and you something 30-something years old? What's wrong with you? Oh, because you can't pull nobody your age. Like, ooh, nah. You know, and everybody, oh, it's okay. Same thing with nasty Donald Trump and grabbing him by the vagina and kissing on women that don't want you to kiss them and just being a brute, being nasty, terrible. You have accusations of rape, actual, true, real accusations. Oh, it's okay. No, it's not. Herschel Walker, you have several allegations of helping a woman get an abortion or making a woman have an abortion because you don't want her to have your child. You have several accusations of that. And you have one situation where the mother didn't have the abortion and you and she had your son. Oh, but we can't talk about that. More recently, last week, another woman came up talking about he wanted me to have an abortion, but I didn't do it. Like, come on, man. I'm sorry. I, certain allegations, when you hear certain things, some things can be far-fetched and stuff like that. But then there's also other stuff where it's just like, nah, you got to be tripping. You know, when you hear something so many times, sometimes, and there's a lot of truth and validation behind it, it may actually be true. Ugly, but true. I've said this before. The truth can be very unattractive. So, you know, use your power, your ability. Be careful out there. Hopefully you don't have masked gunmen at the ballot boxes or poll sites. You know, that's just insane to me. But let's do our best to try to obtain, we can't even maintain it till we obtain it, a semblance of normalcy and sanity in our government. I'm so serious. When I listen to these other people, and, you know, once in a while we'll watch Fox and Friends just to see what the enemy is doing, and I'm like, I can't believe you're stuck on this. You stuck so hard on this, and it's not real. So they've just found ways to spread more of a non-reality into people's minds to make them feel like it is real. All the little pundits, Tucker Carlson, all the, I'm like, ooh, it's very interesting when I'm watching them. Very, very interesting. And hence, like I said earlier, I can see how they could become so delusional because they just don't know. They drink the Kool-Aid, okay? They follow in the Pied Piper like they're little rats, and that's it because they're clueless. But they're believing this hype. They're believing this hype. These people out here still want to believe that the idiot won the presidential election when they have actual tape of him saying, I know I lost, I know we lost, but we can't tell them yet. He knew he lost. He said, we're going to ride out with this lie. Okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to ride out with this lie. And it was Steve Bannon and Roger Stone and, you know, all the rest of them. Like, yeah. Let's keep running with it. Keep running with the lie. Then they plan January 6th. All hell breaks loose. We have a trial and everything. Really? And like I said, it's not like I trust either side a whole lot. Nah, that ain't it. But what's deep to me is that it just continues to be purported. It continues to be espoused. It's like they just, everywhere you turn, or even like the flag man with the pickup truck up here, it's everywhere, and they just want to believe it. So we'll see what happens. But y'all be safe out there, please. As I said before, as we go deeper into the winter solstice and what have you, energies and dynamics will change. Okay, keep your wits about you, even when you're driving, you know, even if you're walking down the street. Keep your wits about you. All right, be aware of your surroundings. Be careful. Be careful. I thank you so very much for being with me this Monday, this moon day, this day of reflection. Thank you all for being with me. I saw new numbers in the queue. Thank you all for coming and joining in. I hope you enjoyed the program. I hope you enjoyed the show. You still have an opportunity to go into the chat if you want to drop me any messages or ask any final questions. Just, if, you know, those of you who, excuse me, or online, you know, you just look in where it says chat in the little box and you can just type a message and I can answer you. I'm not one to usually open my lines because unless I know who you are, I'm not really one to be random with the opening of the lines. But I thank you so much for being with me. I wish you all a magnificent week ahead. I wish you safety, love, light, happiness, peace, joy, prosperity, and success in all of your endeavors. Anyone who's ill, I pray for your healing. I pray for your wellness, that you will be strong and healthy, and you will live that beautiful life that you're definitely wishing to live again. I just want to tell everybody I love you. Stay amazing and fantastic, okay? Be a fantastic human. Watch out for the elderly. Protect the babies. Love each other, family. Please, love each other, all right? We need more love. We need way more love in the world. Love each other and smile at strangers, all right? Be good out there. I want to thank my amazing husband for always being so supportive of me, and I am always supportive of him. He did his thing this weekend at the launch party. But if you want to listen to some really good music, you can go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL, and get your life. He is fantastic. The music is always so good. It feels so good to your soul. Heal yourself when you have an opportunity, all right? Heal yourself, family. All right, we are amazing. We are fantastic. Let's be that in this world together. All right, thank you so much, fam. I love you. Oh, thanks, Barbara. Peace and love to my sister Barbara and brother Chris of Anubis Jewelry. They were in tonight. If you're ever at the Pocono Bazaar, please go by the red tent and see my brother and sister and get some amazing, beautiful jewelry, wands, other beautiful things, stones, absolutely fantastic. You know, again, and also if you're in New York, if you're in Brooklyn, you can go to Mary Tan's Jewelry in Brooklyn. You can also buy wonderful, wonderful pieces on maryshands.com. You know, just trying to promote my peoples, but I really am appreciative to all of the support that I receive, all the love that I receive. I'm very, very grateful. I'm grateful to all of you who are with me tonight. I thank Dr. Winborn and Reverend Robinson for this platform on the NEO Nation Network. My project NEO is amazing. Definitely take some time to look up the Ethiopian World Federation. Dr. Winborn is the president of the Ethiopian World Federation. They're doing amazing, wonderful things for the community and for our people. You know, there's stuff going on, y'all. There's stuff going on. So, you know, let's just do the work that we need to do for ourselves. Do your work. You know what you need to do to work on yourself. We all know our little assignments and what we have to do. You know, oh, thank you, hubby. And thank you, Sister Dawn, too. You know, I just, again, wishing everybody love and happiness and joy. Realize that you do manifest your reality with your thoughts and your behavior and your tongue. And so just try to maintain and control those three things, okay? Try to maintain and control. All right. I love y'all. Be amazing and fantastic in the world. All right. Peace and love and light. Ashe.